You know, you read a pretty good description of what the second issue is, which is if the Religious Freedom Restoration Act applies, you know, how does religious freedom argument by Hobby Lobby and Conestoga come down? Really, most of the energy was spent on an issue before that, which was the issue of whether or not, as a for-profit corporation, Hobby Lobby or Conestoga were entitled to the protection of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The Obama administration's argument was that only nonprofit corporations were eligible for that protection. And it really was sort of a baseless argument because there was nothing within the language of the statutes which justified drawing the line that way. The statute, mm-hmm. the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was passed in 1993, says that it applies to quote-unquote persons. And there's another statute called the Dictionary Act, which says that whenever in the U.S. statutes the word persons is used, unless the context indicates otherwise, that also includes corporations. And the Obama administration was trying to argue, well, for-profit corporations are not persons, but nonprofit corporations are. And that was really the focus of their briefs when they argued the case in the Supreme Court.
And it seems to me, from what you've said, and just from my own understanding of the law, which does not go as deeply into constitutional law as apparently your experience is, that the administration had no reason to argue this, that this was just a political power play. This was just an ideological power play.
I mean, to me, it was difficult to justify the position they were taking, and particularly so given the fact that, remember, we're talking about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, not the First Amendment. We're talking about mm-hmm. the statutory protection of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. When or passing Obamacare, if they did not want this protection to apply to nonprofit corporations, for-profit corporations, whatever they wanted, they could have just written in the statutes, this requirement shall not be subject to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. You can always do that because both provisions are statutory.
Right.
They didn't do that.
Right.
And I think we know the reason why. You know, Obamacare passes on a razor-thin margin. Had they made clear what they were trying to do politically, they probably wouldn't have gotten it passed at all.
Yeah, great point.
To me, it was like, well, okay, we're going to hide this point now and try through some gamesmanship to argue it later on, just sort of create our own definitions of the terms in the statute.
That is a great point, Sam. What is your take on the earlier caller's great question about how this applies to state insurance mandates in Colorado?
Well, unfortunately, the statute that we're talking about, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, applies only to federal regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it originally was meant to apply to state regulation, and the Supreme Court found in the Bernay versus Forrest case that the Supreme Court, the Congress did not have the authority to impose the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, at least across the board. So that is why we actually have less protection against state regulation than we do against federal regulation. For example, you know, you've seen the cases involving people who don't want to make cakes or be photographers for gay weddings. Those provisions are all state regulation,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, the protections of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act do not apply. And I do think it would be, if you were talking about state regulation, it would be very tough for an employer to make the same kind of arguments that Conestoga and Hobby Lobby are here.
Well, understanding that they were arguing under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, but why couldn't they mount a successful First Amendment challenge?
You could do that. I mean, the reason the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was passed in 1993 is because there was a 1990 decision in a case called Employment Division versus Smith. And what that case said was that it really sort of cut back religious freedom rights pretty severely as compared to really any other constitutional rights. And what they said is that when there is a law that is generally applicable and is not specifically targeted to religion, then there is no First Amendment protection. Now, there are some other exceptions to that that I could go through if you wanted, but
sure.
You probably don't want to hear the whole class.
No, but this is so helpful, very, very valuable. Do you teach as well?
I do not. I'm trying to, but I
you,
do not.
You should. I mean, you teach very well. But what I don't know, for example, because I haven't zeroed in on this issue, is whether there might be any religious liberty protections, including case law flowing from the Colorado Constitution, that would allow a Colorado employer to defeat these mandates.
I have not looked at that. I would be pessimistic about the extent to which Colorado law. I mean, generally, in my practice, I have found that Colorado law is much less protective of of religious freedom than federal cases are, to the point where, you know, when we had cases, we tried to get them in federal court rather than Colorado court because we wanted the federal interpretation of religious liberty rather than the Colorado.
Well, Sam, it seems to me what we need to do, and we probably have to do this through a ballot initiative, is we need to have a state version of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Well, that was proposed in Arizona, and I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
But, you know, people, I mean, politically it's a very difficult thing because people don't look at it as religious freedom. They look at it as gay rights.
Yeah.
And so that was exactly what they were trying to do in Arizona. And, you know, we could do in Colorado, but, you know, not under the current legislature, I would not think.
Yeah, right. It would have to go, you know, to a vote of the people. And it's interesting that, you know, the gay rights movement in Colorado has chosen not to take to the people, for example, a reversal of our constitutional amendment on gay marriage. So I'm not at all conceding that a Religious Freedom Restoration Act initiative would fail in Colorado. Also, there may be ways to tailor the language in order to put together the coalition that we'd need. But you are a very good teacher, my friend. I hope that I hope somebody hires you soon. And tell me, if you would, and don't, you know, provide anything too personal if you don't want to, but what type of law practice is it that allows you to get deeply into these constitutional issues, which I think are fascinating?
Well, I represent a number of religious organizations.
Oh, okay.
And churches. Perfect. And things like that.
Oh, God love you for that, literally. I mean, that is great stuff. And
it's kind of nice to be able to go to work and feel like you're doing, you know, on the side of the angels, as they say.
Absolutely. And do me a favor, if you have a second sometime, just shoot me an email. I'd love to have your contact info so we can plug you in on these issues.
I actually just sent you one regarding these issues.
Oh, this morning?
You don't need to read anymore,
okay.
But it has my contact information.
Okay. Is this the blog information?
Yes.
On behalf of Sam. Okay. Beautiful. Well, thank you, Sam. I will read that.
If somebody wants to read the issues on my blog, it's samventola.com.
Sam Ventola, spelled Ventola, Sam, SamVentola.com.
Correct.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, hey, we'll get you on the list and call you in the future as these things pop up.
Thank you, Dan.
Appreciate it, Sam. Thank you. Hey, great call. Great call.